We're doing the Drashot Aran, we're on page Shin Nun Aleph. V'rikikach samach v'amar v'tai so ishma el ha-chukim el ha-mishpatim. Klomar, kivan she'atem kol kach chavivim lifnei ha-makom, ro'ui she'tishmu chukam v'mishpatam. Moshe Rabbeinu is repeatedly trying to show the Jewish people in his final speech, he's repeatedly pointing out, look at how much Hashem loves you. Even after this transgression of Baal Peor, where the people willfully served an idol and went with the Moabite women. Even then, Hashem says, I'm not letting you go into the land of Israel, Moshe. I want the Jewish people to know how much I love them, that you spoke badly to them once, and I'm not going to forgive you. This is a sign to them how much I love them and how much I expect their leaders to respect them. So then Moshe goes on to say, now Israel, learn the statutes and laws. What he's saying is, Hashem loves you so much, so you should listen to the statutes and laws. V'amar ha-chukim v'mishpatim. Moshe stresses statutes and laws, mipnei shem kolim ha-Torah kula, because those two terms are all encompassing. V'achar kach piret manat kol echad mem. Then he speaks about the benefits of each one. Ritzoni lomar, min ha-chukim v'mishpatim, meaning when you divide it to statutes and laws. U'patach tchila b'chukim. He begins by talking about the statutes. V'amar Moshe said, u'shmartem v'asitem. Be careful and perform. This is your wisdom and understanding that the nations can see. They hear all your statutes and they say, wow, what a smart nation. This pasuk is really answering the Yetzer Hara. And it's as though Moshe would say, how can we keep these statutes? Nations all around are going to mock us. As our sages said, that throughout our history, the nations and our own Yetzer Hara would constantly bother us about it. They'd say, what are you burning a red heifer for? What do you think those ashes are going to do for you? What are you doing with that goat for Azazel? What do you think that does for you? Because the statutes, the logic, the reasoning behind them are hidden. So that's what Moshe comes and tells them, but I want you to know that the exact opposite is going to happen. That specifically because of the statutes, the nations will say, look at what a great, smart nation they are. How so? Uvielsi batzeva hamar. So Moshe explains, Kimi goy gadol ha-shalo elokim krovim elav kashem elokim b'chokorenu alav. What other nation has Hashem so close to them, like Hashem our God, that whenever we call to Him, He answers, upiresh ha-inyan. So what's going on here is as follows. Kimi shi'aseh ze davar zar me'od lo yireh botam klal. If you do something very strange, that you can't figure out why, no one can understand why you're doing that. And no one can see what you benefit. There's no obvious benefit from what you're doing. So then you look at it and you say, the guy's a fool. Right? I'll give you a simple example. I grew up in a generation where if you walked down the street and someone else was walking and talking into the air, you'd think they were crazy. Right? This is the generation I grew up in. Welcome to the 21st century, where people walk down the street and talk, and the assumption is, he has a Bluetooth, he has a mic somewhere, he's talking to someone, it's normal, he's normal, right? So you see an action, if you can see the logic behind it, you say, okay, it makes sense. You don't see the logic behind it, say the guy's a quack. But if some tremendous benefit comes out of it, but let's say a person were to come in. There's a shiitake mushroom that grows in Japan. There's a chemical called lentinan. So there's a doctor out in Beit Vegan that gives shots of lentinan. There are people that give shots of the shiitake mushroom. Now, science has not yet figured out why either one of these would help against cancer. But many cancer patients believe that these two can help against cancer. So you come to someone and you say, do you really think it works? And they say, well, it's extraordinary. Right. The fact that it's extraordinary is either because he's a quack or a charlatan, or because he's very, very smart. There's a doctor that comes here to the hotel at the entrance to the city. He's called alternative medicine doctor. And to my mind, he's a charlatan. I accompanied a couple to him, and he told the couple you will never be able to get pregnant, and every child you get pregnant with, you will miscarry, unless you follow my instructions, one of which was they should take a huge dosage of chlorophyll every day. Now, the problem with chlorophyll is that chlorophyll causes the blood to clot, and it could have caused them serious strokes, and they can be very thankful that someone advised them that they should not take it. And ever since then, they had many children without any of his treatments. But first, they, you know, so you sit there in the waiting room, and you see all the people coming to him, and he has all kinds of weird things that he tells them to do. And people are convinced that because what he's telling them is weird, he must be very, very smart. So that's the way we work. When someone tells us something that seems weird, so either we say he's weird, or if we see a benefit from it, then we say, wow, he's a genius. So, for example, if someone were to use a standard cure to cure an illness, and then the next guy tells you, that's homeopathic medicine. You know, homeopathic medicine uses chemicals that go beyond Avogadro's principle. Avogadro's principle is that if you dilute something beyond a certain number, there's no molecular representation for that item. Okay? That chemical has no molecular representation. It's been diluted to the point where it doesn't exist, chemically, scientifically. And yet, homeopathic medicine uses it, and it works. I've personally witnessed people who it worked for. I have relatives who use it, and they use it, and they keep using it, and it helps. The people get sick, they use it, they get cured. People use a lot of things. Now go understand, why is it that if you take these little balls, where the prime component is the sugar that comes from lactose, and all the other components are beyond Avogadro's principle, and they tell you don't hold it on a metal spoon, right? You can't hold it with metal. And all kinds of other instructions that we don't understand. And then you put them under your tongue and they melt. And suddenly within an hour, the person's feeling better and his fever's down. What's going on? What's the logic? We don't understand. I don't understand it. Science, I don't think, has an explanation for why it works. And I don't think it's a placebo effect. You don't understand it. So then you have more respect. And you say, wow, that's genius. I don't even understand it. Doesn't even make sense to me. So when the second doctor gives you something that doesn't make any sense to you, so then you say he's much smarter than a regular doctor. Because he seems to understand things that science can't figure out. So the same thing is going on here. Because when the nations see that the Jewish people perform statutes that there's no logical explanation for, kikobanot, like sacrifices. What are you doing bringing an animal? What does God care if you sacrifice the cow, a sheep? What difference does it make? Vizulatam, you have all kinds of mitzvot that there's no logical explanation for. And then the nations see that you do these actions and suddenly there's a presence of Hashem in your midst. Suddenly the Shekhinah is closer to you than any other nation. So then they have to say, gee, I guess they're not working with the same system we are. They did not have a legal system the way we do. There's something else going on here. Every nation has their set of laws. Look at the Russian constitution. It's books, right, to ensure a person's freedom. It's much, much longer than the American constitution. Got to make sure it's all in writing, right? At least should be in writing. So every nation has their laws, and that doesn't seem to be exceptional to the Jewish people. So why don't other nations attain what we attain? That's why the nations have say we have no choice. Even though when you look at all a statute in the Torah, it doesn't seem to make sense. You look at, what statute? Don't eat meat with milk. Why not? You eat meat and afterwards you eat the milk. Why can't you eat them together? Don't eat pig. Why not? Maybe it's healthy. So we have statutes we don't understand. But then the nations look at it and say, I guess, even though we don't understand it, it's not stupid. We don't have a choice. We have to admit there's something smart going on here. Even though we don't understand it. We have no explanation for it. And that's why the Pasuk describes the nations will say they are none other than wise and understanding. Why does it say none other? What's the word rak? As if the Pasuk would say, even though the nations are saying, even though on the surface seems pretty stupid what they're doing, We have no explanation for why they won't eat pig's milk. Why not? You eat cow's milk, why can't you eat pig's milk? I don't know. I went to yeshiva in Chinatown. So I shouldn't tell you what they sell there. But they sell all kinds of stuff.
They sell it.
What?
Basically, if it moves, they sell it. I mean, that's a culture that came out of starvation.
Okay.
Look, they don't have a college that tells them don't eat it. So, like you said, it makes perfect sense to. I mean, imagine how starving the first person must have been who opened up a lobster or something. I mean, the last thing you think you'd want to eat. If you don't have a specific Torah that says, no.
Let's just finish the sentence. The nations will say, we have no choice. We see the outcome is phenomenal. So then there must be a lot of wisdom here that we don't understand. That's why Moshe stresses the statutes. He's saying there are things here that the nations will look at and say, I don't understand it, but it's working. And if it's working, then the fact that I don't understand it is a reflection on me. There must be something very smart going on here. Yeah.